Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we introduced a Tanaic source at the bottom of Nun Beis Amud Beis, featuring Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yonasan, both of whom addressed the issue of the penalty known as chenek, strangulation. The opinion of Rabbi Yonasan, as explained by Rebbe, was clear how we know that there is such a punishment known as chenek. The Gemara opens up at the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph asking, from where does Rabbi Yoshia know that there is such a penalty? The Gemara continues, Bishlam ala Rabbi Yonasan, kidekom eforesh Rebbe taima. It is fine and good according to Rabbi Yonasan, as is explained by Rebbe, his reason for Misas chenek. Namely, it's a type of miso she'en boi roshem, a type of death that leaves no mark, no external mark on the body. Elo l'Rabbi Yoshia, mimai di'iko chenek bo'olam, emo sayif. According to Rabbi Yoshia, that cites the pasuk mos yumos, from where do you know that that's a reference to strangulation? Maybe it's a reference to sayif, to execution by the sword. Rashi at the top says, mimai di'iko chenek bo'olam, b'misas beisdin, through court execution, Dilma ein misos bezdin elo shalosh. Maybe there are only three forms of execution, kala, shebohen, and the least of which is besayif. To this, the Gemara answers on behalf of Rabbi Yoshia, Omar Rava, arba misos Gemara gemiri lehu. There are four types of court execution that are learned through oral tradition, and they are taught as four methods and taught by name. As we know, there's skila, srefa, hereg, and chenek. What is meant by the quote, lo mipnei shihikala? You'll notice we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating nun beis omid beis that tells you to look down on nun beis omid beis and find a corresponding arrow that should be marked nun gimel omid aleph. And you'll find that Rabbi Yonasan makes this comment in addressing the issue of how do I know that there is chenek, and Rabbi Yonasan says chenek will be given in the case there of a married woman engaged in illicit relations, and she gets the chenek, and Rabbi Yonasan says not because the chenek is the most lenient of the penalties. What is implied by his comment? So the Gemara answers, Komifligi bepluto de Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. The machlokes between Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia parallels the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan in their ordering of harshness of court executions. And it comes out as follows. Rabbi Yonasan, who said that don't think that chenek is the lightest of the penalties, it is because Rabbi Yonasan subscribes to Rabbi Shimon's opinion that holds sayif, the execution by the sword, is the lightest of the penalties. That's Rabbi Yonasan's opinion, but Rabbi Yoshia, who precedes him in the Braisa, will hold like the Rabbanan, that in fact chenek is the lightest of the court executions. Amar lei Rabbi Zeira l'Abaye. Rabbi Zeira asks Abaye, Sh'ar haniskolin delo ksiv b'huskila, degamri me'oiv v'yadoini. The other forms of death by stoning, that the pasuk does not reveal the term stoning in the pasuk, but rather those other offenses are learned from the pasuk dealing with oiv and yidoni, which is, we'll call it for our purposes right now, forms of sorcery. The pasuk that appears by oiv and yidoni is featured here on the margin of our Gemara, vayikra Perek Chav Pasuk Chav Zayin, it says, V'ish o isha, kiye bohem oiv o yidoni. A man or a woman, if there be amongst them an ov or yidoni, two different types of sorcery, mos yumosu, they shall be put to death. Bo'evin yirgimu oisam demehem bom. Here the pasuk is explicit. It mentions the stoning process, and their blood shall be spilt for this offense. The Gemara right now wants to know, when we encounter other death penalties other offenses that are punishable by stoning that are learned from Ov and Yidoni, those other offenses don't have the term stoning found in them. However, there is room for word comparison to be made. So the Gemara asks, B'mai Gamri, through which word comparison are we going to derive the other forms of skila, the other offenses that are penalized by skila? Is it through the expression bemos yumsu gamri, through that expression, as we just saw in the pasuk by Ov and Yidoni, and that pasuk would appear, that phrase would appear by those other death penalties, or from this expression that's found? That is basically Rabbi Zeira's question. Amarle, Abaye answers, B'dmehem bom gamri, we are going to compare the other misos, skila, to Ov and Yidoni through the word comparison involving d'mehem bom. D'i b'mos yumosu gamri, because if you were to think that we're going to compare the other averus, the other violations or sins to Ov and Yidoni through the mos yumosu comparison, then demehem, demehem, lomali. What will I do with those expressions? They won't seem to fulfill any purpose. Elo, my. So what are you suggesting? The demehem bom gamri, that we're going to elect to compare the other offenses punished by stoning through the demehem word comparison? Then mos yumosu lomali. Then what am I going to do with this word comparison? The Gemara answers, as far as mos yumosu is concerned, that has another role. Kedisanya, the following Tanaic source, as you can see, we have a few lines in a frame that indicates that this is a Tanaic source as opposed to the rest of the Gemara literature. The Pasuk says, mos yumos hamake roitzehu. The Pasuk deals with the death of a murderer. I would only know the misa, the preordained method of execution. How do I know that if I cannot carry out the ordained method of execution, namely in the case of murderer, it would be through saif, and for whatever reason, we can't carry that out. The Torah says, put him to death anyway, put the murderer to death anyway, through any method. How do I know that's what we do? Talmud Lomar, mos yumos hamakeh, mikomokom, that he, the murderer, shall be put to death through any means. So we see the double expression of mos yumos being used to tell me, put the condemned to death through any means, if for whatever reason you can't use the prescribed method. The Gemara now presents a long question that's made of many subsections. You can see the length of the question by the long question marking the kuf that's encircled to the right hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. In this section, you'll also notice triangles that are flipping back and forth in their positioning. Let us glance to the outside margin to see our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei being the topic and Mivneh structural note. We see that it says, Limud l'sha'ar haniskolin midmehem bom, that we learn to the other offenses punishable by stoning through the word comparison of demehem bom. Had I learned from through the word comparison of mos yumos, hayinu mitkashim, we would have ran into a difficulty. The Gemara will be asking each stage here, mahu hakoshi, what is that difficulty? And with the triangles, with the point facing up, those are hatsa'ot, those are suggestions of what the difficulty might have been. And then we will see a rejection of those suggestions when the triangle has its point flipping downwards. by the end of this section, this long question with the back and forth discussion, we'll then notice a final triangle with its point facing up, and that will be the reason why we would not want to learn through the mos yumos method. So now the Gemara starts the long question. Amalei Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina. Ve'i b'mos yumosu gamri. Had we learned the other niskolim from Oiv and Yedoni through the mos yumosu word comparison, my kokashile would have been difficult about that? The Rashi explains the question. Amalei Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina. Hod yom Rabbi Zera labai b'mai gamri. That which Rabbi Zera was curious, through which word comparison are we going to learn the other niskolin? Ma'avi kashile the Rabbi Zera. What would have been a problem? What would have been difficult to Rabbi Zera? Ihavi gamri b'mosu mosu. Had we learned through the mosu mosu method? Well, let's see now in the Gemara. In lema. No, this is a triangle pointing upwards. This is a suggestion of what might have been difficult. The issue of a married woman who behaves immorally in intimate relations with another man. I might have learned that she is punished by stoning, and learned that from Ov and Yedoni. Malahalon b'skila afkan b'skila. Just like Ov and Yedoni is punishable by stoning, so too the Ashes Ish would suffer the same fate, and that's not true. In other words, I would have come to an erroneous conclusion. The Gemara said, I would never have come to that conclusion. That isn't a reason for me to avoid learning through mos yumos. Why? Mida omar rachmona arusa b'skila. From the fact that in the realm of marriages, it says only the arusa suffers the skila penalty. Michal de nesua lav b'skila. I can infer that the fully married woman would never have suffered the skila penalty. V'ela make ovavimo kokashile. So what is the problem with learning through the mos yumosu comparison? It might have been the case of striking and injuring one's father or mother. Now we know that striking, make ovavimo, is punishable by chenek through strangulation. But had I learned other niskolin using the mos yumosu word comparison, I would have concluded that make oviv would have been through chenek. Lemesi ulemigmar meov viadoni. And once again, that means to derive it and learn it from Ov Yedoni, and Mechayev Skila, which is not the din. So the Gemara says, I wouldn't have done that. Ad Degamri Meov Yedoni, until learning Make Oviv from Ov and Yedoni through Mos Yumosu, Ligmaru Me Eshesish, by the same token, I would have learned Make Oviv from Eshesish. And Mechayev Make Oviv for Chenek. Di'i ato rashoin lemoshcha lahachmir oleo elola. Okay, oleo. Given that the case of Make Oviv would have been unknown, and I would have had a choice to learn it either from Ovid and Yedoni, or to learn it from Ashes Ish, I would have learned it from Ashes Ish, because Ashes Ish is a less severe penalty, it's chenek, than Ov and Yedoni, which is skila. And if I have something, like in this case it would have been Maki Oviv, an unknown, the unknown I have no right to derive anything more stringent than I absolutely have to conclude. Omale, so we finally have an answer now. Ravina answers Ravina, Rav Achon says, Sha'ar haniskolim gufayo kokashile. I simply would not have known all the other offenses that are punishable by skila. De'iva mos yumos gamri. If you were to suggest that I should learn the other unknown penalties for the other offenses, learn it through mos yumos, ad gamri mi'oi v'ironi, instead of learning the other offenses through comparison to Ov and Yedoni through the mos yumos word comparison, ligmaru me'eshesish, I would have concluded the penalty that is given to Eshesish, namely chenek, for those other offenses, and I would never have known that there is a host of other offenses that is punishable by skila. New Mishnah. Eluhein haniskolin. Now we see a list of offenses that are punishable by stoning. Habo al ha'im, one who has intimacy with his mother, vial ashes of ha'ov, or one's father's wife, vial hakala, one's daughter-in-law, vial hazochur, homosexual intimate relations, vial habehema, intimacy with an animal, v'ha'isha hamavia es habehema, and a woman that brings upon herself a male animal for intimacy, v'hamegadef, a blasphemer, v'ha'oved avodis kechavim, an idol worshiper, v'anusin mizaro lamolech, one who passes his offspring to the molech, ubal oiv, v'yedoini, two different forms of sorcery, v'hamachalas ha'shabbos, one who is involved in Shabbos violation, v'hamachalil avavima, one who curses his mother, his father or mother. Rashi points out something interesting here, that Mekalel Oviv Imo is considered more severe, it's punishable by stoning, than one who inflicts injury upon Oviv Imo. Rashi says, Mekalel Oviv Imo, Hichmir Mibemake, it is more stringent than inflicting a bruise, Mishum Deiko Tarti, Kalon Oviv Imo, Umotzi Shem Shamayim Levatola. There's both the denigration of his folks, and also the use of God's name in vain. Continuing in the Mishnah, v'habo al naro hamurasa, one who has intimacy with a naro that's in a state of erusin, v'hamesis v'hamediach, people that are engaged in seducing others into idol worship, v'hamechashef, sorcerer, uben soromure, and the wayward son. Habo al ho'aim chayav oleho mishum aim umishum eshes av. According to the first opinion in the Mishnah, and that's signified by the little aleph, that this is the first of two opinions, one who has relations with his mother, he is in violation of two offenses through one act of intimacy. He's in violation of relations with mother and with a father's wife. Rabbi Omer, Eino Chayav Elo Mishum Ho'em Bilvad. Notice we have a geometric form around the expression Mishum Ho'em Bilvad. We have an explanation on the outside margin under the heading No Say. Shitas Rabbi Huda, Beis Deos B'Habo Aloheim. There are two opinions with regard to what exactly is Rabbi Huda's opinion in this particular offense. We have a Mivne note with the bowtie feature, Tam le simun ze, laura she shnei deos berbuda. This mark will bring out that we have two opinions within the understanding of the Tana Rabbi Huda. Continuing though in our Mishnah, Habo al eshesav, chayov mishum eshesav u mishum eshes ish, one who has relations with one's father's wife is guilty of two offenses with this one act of intimacy, and they are Eishes Av and the other Eishes Ish. She's also not only one's father's wife, she also happens to be a married woman. She's married to his father. Bein b'chayi oviv, bein la'achar misis oviv, bein min ho'erisin, bein min asuin. The offense known as Eishes Av is applicable whether the father is alive or not. Even if the father is dead, she still retains the title of Eishes Av. And this title is regardless of whether they reach only the erusin level of marriage or they actually consummated their marriage. That woman, the Eishes Av, even if she was an arusa to Aviv, she nevertheless is forbidden. Habo al kaloso, chayav oleho, one who has relations with his daughter-in-law. He is in violation of two offenses in the one act of intimacy. Mishum kaloso, mishum eishes ish. Bein b'chaye beno, bein la'achar misas beno, bein mino erisin, bein min hanesuin. The title of kaloso is applicable whether the son is alive or not. And as we saw a moment ago, the level of marriage that the son reached with this woman doesn't affect this particular issue of the father-in-law's violation, namely whether she was an arusa to his son or if they were nisuin together. Tanya, we open up the Gemara with a Tanaic source, and our job is going to be to note the difference between this Tanaic source and the Mishnah's presentation of Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo hoisa imo reuya la'aviv, if the woman was not fit for his father, eino chayav aleh elo mishum ho'im bilvad, then the relationship with her would entail the violation of mother alone. After all, the woman is this fellow's mother. By saying that, we are in effect saying aim bilvad, and as we saw in the Mishnah, not mishum eishes av. What is meant by saying my eino reuya loy? What does that mean? If one is to suggest that the father married a woman that would entail a violation punishable by kores, being one's life being cut short, or chayve mises bezin, or guilty of court execution. For example, a father married his sister. That's an example of chayve krisis, and then they had a son. And then that son had relations with his mother, who's in effect his father's sister. So Rav Yehuda would be telling us that he's chayev only mishum ho'em, not mishum eishes av. So to this, the Gemara asks, if that be the case, then that's how we'll understand Rav Yehuda. What would the Rabbanon hold? Michlal, the Rabbanon savri, afagav, the eino ruya lo. The Rabbanon who said that for relations with the eishes av, there are two penalties. There is aim and eishes av. Would they say that there are two penalties? Even if she's not fit for him, even if she's a relationship with his father that would be chayev kores or mises based in, ha'les le kiddushin begava, the father has no marital status with her whatsoever. In other words, according to the Rabbanan as well, we would say only chayev mishum ein bilvad. There would be no eishes av penalty. There's no ishus. There's no marital bond accomplished if she is a forbidden relationship to the father. Elo chayvei lavin. We're talking about a lower level of offense, a type of woman that is forbidden to this man's father, which involves the avera alav, a negative violation of a negative teaching, a negative mitzvah, a negative precept. For example, if a man married a mamzeres, a person's not allowed to marry a mamzeres. Well, he did, and he had a child. If that child then had relations with his mother, who happens to be a mamzeres, according to the Rabbonon, there would be two violations. There would be aim and eishesav, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be only aim. The question then is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is there no second violation? Why is it only aim? Rabbi Yehuda, savar lo k'Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there's only one offense, and that's namely the offense of aim, holds like Rabbi Akiva, d'yomer ein kedushin toivsin b'chayvei lavin. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that there's no marital bond accomplished or created when it involves the wedding of two people that are forbidden to one another through the violation of a negative commandment alone, a chayve lavin alone, even if it's not chiyuv misas beizdin or kores. At this point then in the Gemara, and you notice we've dashed underlined this expression, Rabbi Yehuda sovar lo k'Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Yehuda ties into Rabbi Akiva, that views chayve lavin as one would view chayve krisis or chayve mises besin, a type of relationship that prevents the formation of a marital bond. To this, the Gemara asks a question, and it's in effect a long question. The length of the question, you can see, continues till the next omid, a number of lines down from the top, as is indicated by the vertical dashed line. In this discussion, or in this long question, we're going to
notice that Rav Yehuda seems to say that even if there is the violation of a lav in creating the marital bond, nevertheless a marital bond is created. And that would then show us that Rav Yehuda does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. And if that be the case, we're going to have difficulty understanding what does Rabbi Yehuda mean, what does the source mean when it says that Rabbi Yehuda holds he's chayev only mishum ho'em bilvad. Mosiv Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya introduces the following Tanaic source whose topic is the topic of Yibum. This is a situation where a man dies, leaving a widow, but leaving no children. The Torah expects his surviving brother to miyabim, to marry the widow and produce a new family. What happens if the original marriage between the brother who is now deceased was a marriage that involved sin? Does the mitzvah of Yibum still apply? So, in this source, we will see that if the level of sin is not too severe, then even though it was a marriage through sin, the mitzvah of Yibum will still apply. The source opens up by saying, Isur mitzvah, the Isur kedusha, two different types of violations, are chotzos v'lo misyabmos. They do not enter the Yibum marriage, they do only chalitza. Chalitza is a procedure whereby the widow removes the shoe of her brother-in-law, and through that ceremony, which involves some other steps to it, she is thereby released from the Yibum bind and is allowed to marry anyone she likes. So this source is telling us that if the original marriage with the deceased was either through Isur Mitzvah or Isur Kedusha, Chalitza takes place, but not Yibum. The source explains these two expressions, and we've featured them with a double underline to highlight these expressions. Isur Mitzvah equals Shniyos Midivrei Sofrim. We'll call it a rabbinic type of prohibition, whereby there are a list of women that even though the Torah does not prohibit one's marrying them, the rabbis did. And that's called Isur Mitzvah. Skipping the bracketed section momentarily, Isur Kedusha equals Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Hedyot. If the person happened to be a Kohen, if he was a Kohen Gadol and married an Almana, a widow, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow woman, or a common Kohen, a Kohen Hedyot, married a divorced woman or a woman who received Chalitza. Those are women that the common Kohen, is not allowed to marry. We say that this source says that Chalitza is performed in the event that the man died leaving no children but no Yibum. And then Vitanya Allah, there's another Tanaic source that comments on this, Rebuta Machlif. The Tana Rav Yehuda switches these around, namely, Isur Mitzvah is a reference to Almona L'Kohen Gadol and Grusha L'Chutzah L'Kohen Hedyot, and Isur Kedusha is a reference to Shniyos Midivrei Sofrim. We do see one thing, though, that even though there is a marriage, there's a violation in creating this marital bond, Rav Yehuda says Chalitza is performed. Even though no Yibum is performed, Chalitza is performed. If we were to think that Rav Yehuda views a marriage of sin, namely of a lav violation, a violation of a negative precept in forming this marital bond, Rav Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva that there's no bond formed whatsoever, then there would be no need for chalitza. They never join together as far as Rabbi Akiva would be concerned. And yet Rabbi Yehuda says that chalitza is to be done, showing that a marital bond had been formed. And with that, we will be presenting our question. Let us go over the couple of lines that we skipped and, of course, the rest of the text inside, through which we'll see the entire question again. At the top line of the Gemara, we mentioned Isur Mitzvah was Shniyos Midivrei Sofrim. Why is a marriage that involves the violation of a rabbinic precept referred to by the term Isur Mitzvah. So the Gemara explains in the brackets, V'amai koru lehu Isur Mitzvah. Answer, mi shemitzvah lishmoa divrei chachomim. We've dashed underlined the word mitzvah, emphasizing that that's the word that's of key importance. That it's considered, we say that it is a mitzvah, it is obligatory to listen to the chachomim and their teachings. Hence, someone who violates a rabbinic prohibition is called isur mitzvah. Continuing in the source, Isur Kedusha, we said, equals Amonu L'Koyin Gadol, Grusha L'Chuzo L'Koyin Hedyot. V'amai Koru Lehu Isur Kedusha. Why are these Kohen violations referred to by that expression? Dichtiv, the Pasuk in the context of Kohanim, in the Parsha that deals with the special halachas regarding Kohanim, it says, Kedoshim Yu Leilo Kehem, that they shall be holy unto God. Continuing in the source, Vitanyo Allah, and commenting on this, you have another source that says Rebuta Machlif. Rebuta switches around the terms, as we explained earlier, that Isur Mitzvah refers to the Kohen prohibitions, and Isur Kedusha refers to the violations of rabbinic teachings. Chilufehu de Mechalif, Machlif. All Rebuta does is switch around the titles, Ha Chalitza Baya, but he does require the Chalitza ceremony to take place to free the widow from being bound to her brother-in-law. Now, if one were to think that Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to Rabbi Kiva's approach that says that Lavim is, there is no Tfisas Kedushin, well, the Gemara points out, Michti Chayvei Lavim Rabbi Kiva, violations of negative precepts according to Rabbi Kiva, kechayvei krisus domi, are treated the same way as marriages accomplished through through violations of chiyuv kores, like brother and sister getting together. The chayvei krisus lavenei chalitza v'ibul ninu, and just like it's fairly obvious that a brother who tries to marry his sister and the brother dies leaving no children, there's not going to be any mitzvah of chalitza either, because there was never the formation of a marital bond. So if Rabbi Yehuda would hold like Rabbi Akiva on this issue, then even those violations, for example, Rabbi Yehuda's version of Isur Mitzvah, which would be a Kohen violation, which would be a negative commandment, but there would be no formation of a marital relationship in the first place. Hence, there would have been no need for Chalitza for this widow. The Gemara answers, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda does hold like Rabbi Kiva. What Rabbi Yehuda was saying in the Tanaic source that's framed above, where we saw Rabbi Yehuda Machlif, that was as follows. L'dvarav de Tanakama ko'omar. Rabbi Yehuda was simply disagreeing with the Tanakama in his nomenclature, in his titling the different types of offenses, the Isur Mitzvah, Isur Kedusha, what is referred to by each one of those terms. However, v'lei lo svirolei, but Rabbi Yehuda himself does not subscribe to the legal implications that the Rabbonin stated above, but rather Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva. Hence, as we saw on Omer Aleph, if the woman married by one's father was a woman that was not fit for him to marry, and then the son that's produced has relations with his mom, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's guilty of violation of Aim Bilvad, mother alone and not Eishes Av, because she's never considered Eishes Av, because there was never a marital bond ever formed. He also Rebutzok Toni Kidisnan. Rebutzok comes and teaches a Tanaic source that is the same as our Mishnah. Rebuta Omer Eino Chayav Elo Mishum Hoeim Bilvad. Even if the woman married by one's father was fit for him, the son that's born, who has eventually relations with his mother, is guilty only of Aim and not Eishes Av, even in the case that she was fit for the father. V'taimomai, why is there only one offense? So as far as this question is concerned, why does Rebuta hold there is only one offense, even though there are two possibilities in this particular act of intimacy, namely aim and eishes av, and Rav Yehuda says there's a violation of aim alone. So why is that? We have markings that appear in the coming up of in this coming Gemara. You have diamonds and a numbering system that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text 1 through 3. These are explained in the Mivneh heading, in the margin, the structural note. These are three nisyonos, three attempts, loseis tam l'Rav Yehuda, to offer a reason behind Rav Yehuda, shemachayev rak echod, al imoy velo mishum eishes av, that says there is guilt for aim alone, for having relations with mother alone, and not a violation of eishes av. We will also notice in the Gemara some triangles. These are kushios, questions al hani tomim, on some of the offered suggestions. So the Gemara continues with Omar Abaye, the Omar Kra. Abaye quotes Perek in Vayikra, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Zayin. Before we read, continue in the Gemara, let's just read the entire Pasuk. You'll notice it in the margin. Vayikra Yudches Pasuk Zayin. Ervas Avicha Vervas Imcha Loi Sigale Imcha Hi Loi Sigale Ervasa. So Abaye says, in that Pasuk Zayin it says, Imcha Hi Mishum Imoi Ato Mechaivo Vi Ato Mechaivo Mishum Eishes Av. The Torah is saying that the term imcha hi, there is a limitation, and that's telling me that we're going to hold him responsible for only one of the possibilities and not for both. Ela me'ata, if this is your approach to psukim, and we're going to be starting what in effect is a long question. As you can see, the circled kuf to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line extending to the fourth wide line of the Gemara is all part of a question that leads up eventually to Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika's approach, which will be called number 2. So at this point the question begins, Ela Me'ata, if this is your approach to the reading of the Psukim, we have Pasuk Ches in that same parak, in other words the next Pasuk. Let us glance at the side and find where we have noted the Pasuk Vayikra Yudches Pasuk Ches. It says, before we read the Gemara, it says, Ervas Eishes Avicha Loi Sigale Ervas Avicha Hi. In effect, the Gemara quotes the entire Pasuk, and you can see that in the Gemara text itself. Hello Me'ata Ervas Eishes Avicha Loi Sigale Ervas Avicha Hi. One who has relations with Eishes Avicha, with one's father's wife. We also find in this pasuk a limitation. Are we going to then say Mishum Eishes Av Ato Mechaivo V'I Ato Mechaivo Mishum Imoi? Are we going to hold the son who has relations with his father's wife guilty of Eishes Av alone and not for Imo? If that be the case, we're going to have a strange situation if you try to combine what we saw in Pasuk Zayin with what we see now in Pasuk Ches. Elo, imoi shehi eishes aviv. Imagine a woman that is both his mother and his father's wife. In other words, a couple was married and bore a son. If that son has relations with his mother, she can be described as imo shehi eishes aviv. Koi hachu umimayet la, koi hachu umimayet la. If you're standing in Pasuk Zion, you're going to tell me that he's chayav for Imo and not for Eishes Aviv. And in other words, Pasuk Zion will say there is no guilt of Eishes Aviv. If you stand in Pasuk Ches, you'll say there's no guilt for Imo. So it'll come out that he hasn't violated anything. And that cannot possibly be. The section that we see in these unique brackets, a line and a half, Rashi suggests is not part of the Girsa. In other words, it seems to be an extraneous expression. So let us skip to point number 2 after the brackets. Vesu, the Rabbonon Nami, the Rabbonon who say that one who has relations with Imo Shiesh Yosef is guilty of two, what are you going to do with the expression Hoksiv Imchahi? What do you do with that expression? Once again, Abaye was suggesting that Imcha he was a limitation. But according to the Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, who hold he is guilty of both offenses, where is there any use of the Imcha he expression as a limitation? Ella, what would you have to say as far as the Rabbanan are concerned? Hahu miboyale lecher of Shisha brei Ravidi. You will need that expression for Rav Shisha's teaching, which is found at the bottom part of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, which happens to be a source for the penalty for a single mom situation where a person has relations with his mother who happened to be raped by a man and produced this child. That's called, we'll refer to her as single mom. It's the pasuk Imcha hi has a role for Rav Shisha's teaching. So Rabbi Yehuda Nami Hahu Miboya Le Rav Shisha Breid Ravini. The Imcha hi expression would be needed for that teaching and not to limit the number of offenses. So Abaye would lose his source for this particular teaching. You'll notice in the sukkah as it continues, references between the lines with a P for Pasuk and numbers that will be 1 through 6 as we go through this sugya and the sugya on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. This is a reference to the extra page of Psukim, the Psukim chart that you can find possibly by scrolling on your screen to find the list of Psukim that are referred to. We have already noted in our Gemara text, in our Gemara edition, the psukim written in on the in the margins as well. Let us continue in the Gemara. Elo Omar Rav Acha Bre Rav Ika. This is number two. We're looking for a source for Rabbi Yehuda says that one who has relations with Ashes Oviv Shiimo is guilty only of Imo Bilvad. What is the basis for that? Elo Omar Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika Omar Kro Ervasa. Notice P3. You'll see the pasuk being referred to. We're in fact dealing with the pasuk Zion of Perek Yudches, where you find at the end of the pasuk says Lo Sigale Ervasa. The word Ervasa is a word in the singular, and we can learn Mishum Erva Achas Ato Mechaivo V'Ato Mechaivo Mishum Shtei Ervos, that we hold the person guilty of one violation of immorality and not for two violations. So we have Ervasa serving as a limitation expression. Elo Me'ato, if that be the case, once again we see a triangle which represents a question on this second approach, and it in fact is a long question as is indicated by the long question marking you see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Elo Me'ato, if that be the case, then what about the following pasuk? This is pasuk Tesvov there in Vayikra Yudches. This pasuk deals with having relations with one's daughter-in-law. Ervas Kalos Cholo Segaleh Eishes bincha hi lo sigale ervasa. Pasuk is telling us that a person is forbidden to have relations with his daughter-in-law. She happens to be his son's wife. Hachi nami, are you going to tell me the same thing as we said before? Mishum ervo achas ato mechaivo v'yato mechaivo mishum shtei ervos, that he's guilty for the violation of one act of immorality and not for two. V'hatnan, but we have the following Tanaic source. Habo al kaloso. We saw this in our Mishnah. The one who has relations with one's daughter-in-law chayav alo mishum kaloso mishum eishes ish. That there's a double violation. Bein b'chaye b'no, bein l'achar misas b'no. That the violation of daughter-in-law applies even if one's son is dead. The lo poleg Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't find Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda also says that there are two violations. Elo kevan d'chad gufa hu. Since it's one person, it's the same, it's the daughter-in-law. She happens to carry two names on her. She's called Kaloso, and she's also called Eishes Ish. But since she's one individual, Afagav Detrei Isuri Ninu, even though there are two violations, namely daughter-in-law and married woman, Ksiv Ervosa, the Pasuk uses the singular expression, but not for the purposes of limitation. Hachanami, so too, in Pasuk Zion, with dealing when dealing with Ervas Avicha, and the Pasuk concluding with the expression Ervasa, Keva Dechad Gufahu, since it's one individual, namely it's one's mom and also one's father's wife, Afagav the Trey Isurin, you know, even though there are these two violations, Ksiv Ervasa, the Pasuk uses the singular expression referring to the singular lady, the one woman. But not for the purpose of limiting number of offenses. Elo Amar Rava, we come up to number three. Where do we know? What is the source for Rabbi Huda saying that Eishes Av, who is also Emo, and one has relations with her, he's guilty only of Emo? So, Elo Amar Rava, Kasav Rabbi Huda, Ervas Ovicha. Zu Eishes Avicha. Umaisi La Begzera Shava. The expression Ervas Avicha is used in a Gzera Shava teaching, which eventually teaches us something unrelated for right now, but eventually teaches us that Ervas Avicha is a reference to a father's wife and not having a homosexual relationship with one's own father. Umashma, the expression Eishes Avicha is mashma Bein Eishes Aviv She'imoi, Bein Eishes Aviv She'eino Imo. A father's wife, whether she be his mother or whether she be his father's second marriage, namely a woman that may be his father's wife but not his own mother. Imoi she'eino eishes aviv minayin. As far as single mom is concerned, from where do I know that that is also a forbidden relationship? Single mom would be an example where a woman was raped and produced a son. She doesn't have a husband. She's imo, but she's not eishes aviv. Where do we know that she's forbidden? Tamad lomar, ervas imcha loy segale, imcha hi. We see this in Pasuk Zayin. And here we have the limitation expression, Im chahi, mishum imoi ato mechaivo, vi ato mechaivo, mishum eishes oviv. However, and this is what we have to emphasize, and Rashi brings this point out, that the expression of ervas ovicha is not a limitation expression. With this, we then understand that from the expression imchahi in Pasuk Zayin, and you can see the P3 notation indicating to look at the Psukim chart, Vayikra Yudches Pasuk Zayin, that has that expression in imchahi, that is the limitation term whereby we say that, according to Rabbi Huda, if he has relations with her, he's chayav, he's guilty of imchahi and not eishes aviv. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.